I'm drinking tonight. All right, let's do this. Hello. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's going to be my new catchphrase. No one's ever used that.
All right.
Serious.
All right.
I don't know why I got to start laughing, dude.
Oh, it's been a really long week. All right.
Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando. And welcome to the show.
And I'm Johnny. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, the show. Hell yeah.
That wouldn't get annoying if I did that just for the rest of this podcast. I mean, I'm talking about the duration of when we do this.
No, podcast. Yeah, just... Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're... I don't know. We're... what we're doing anymore. Okay.
We're a podcast horror movie.
I'm just going to start here. And welcome to the show. This week, we will review No One Gets Out Alive. As always, John will give us the... John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts. And then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to talk about a short film. Called, let me get this right, Daughters of Witches. Because I want to call it Daughter of the Witch, but that's not correct. It's Daughters of Witches. So.
Yes. I think I wrote it Daughter of Witches, but now I see that that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right, either. Daughter of the Witches, or...
Children of the Corn, Daughters of Witches.
It's a tricky title. It's a tricky title.
Connected?
Yeah.
Possibly.
No, definitely.
Oh, man. And I've only got one 5-word.
Okay. 5-word review? Okay. I want to hear that.
I mean, plot summary. Sorry. Plot summary. Or actually, it could be a review. It could be a plot summary. It could be an alternate title. It's very versatile. This
Okay. Give it to us. Hit it. Hit me.
All right. For Daughter of Witches, for the Hulu series.
Yeah.
I have. Gah, 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 gah!
Yeah, that sums it up.
Pretty much. I think so too. I don't even think that's the right bird, but let's go with it.
Yeah. Well, no, she was, I don't know, we should explain what we're doing now. Okay, so yeah. Daughters of Witches is a part of a short film series Hulu is producing called Huluweens. So they're like short films, they range from scary to comedic, and this one I thought would be interesting because it stars the actress from Roma, Yalitza Aparicio. Nailed it.
Right, yeah.
Not that I didn't hear it 1,000 times. This is actually her return. I don't think she's been in anything since Roma, and we both...
She hadn't been in anything before that either, I think, right? Yeah.
This is her follow-up to that, and I remember you and I both loving the movie. We were... It was actually, I remember that night, we were talking about it, drinking and crying about stuff, and then... I don't know if you remember that, but and they were talking about how much we love this movie, crying about it. So,
yeah, it was fucking awesome.
It was really good, and
then I talked to somebody who said they knew that exact location because they grew up right across the street, and I was like, "What the fuck? Do you remember who that was?" Oh, fuck. Yeah, that was a crazy like thing to talk about.
Yeah, this also Roma also has some history of that. That was the last time we hung out before the pandemic, that Christmas ish time.
Oh shit! So it had to been 2019.
Yep.
Yes.
So, Daughters of Witches. Do you want to? Okay, you give us the plot summary. Did you want to?
Yeah, I gave you my feelings already. No, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really cool. It was short, simple, not a whole lot of explanation because it doesn't need it. I think it would ruin it if they explained any more.
Yeah, short films I think are tough because just it's 11 minutes according to IMDb, and you have to kind of get across, you know, they have a couple of ideas here they're trying to get across, right?
Yeah.
A court.
Which I think they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the shorts are tough because I mentioned that because I thought a little bit of the dialogue is a little clunky because the setup is that she's traveled to Mexico, right? And she's wants to meet her mother who does this ritual, you know, out in the forest, essentially, right? And I thought they kind of, I thought it was a little clunky, the exposition between who she's talking, I'm assuming her husband or baby daddy, over the phone and kind of explaining what's going to happen. And,
And there's like, is it some sort of bugs or like something is kind of following her?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it birds or is it butterflies? I don't know. Cause like that whole thing, because the movie we're going to review today has a similar fucking thing going on. So I got confused. I was like, huh?
That's yep.
What am I watching right now?
It did. Yeah. It did have sort of similar themes, and they go out into the woods and they perform some sort of thing, right? And
yeah, some sort of ritual.
Some sort of ritual. And I think
to their mom, or the not mom, but the mother witch, I suppose you can call her.
Yeah, yeah.
Agatha Harkness, right?
I feel like.
Yeah. Catherine Hahn. Just kidding.
She killed that dog. So,
oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I think this is interesting because interesting look. And it's maybe something that I'm more familiar with, like mestizos, witches. Mm-hmm. It's something we're from Texas and we live close to Mexico. So it's something that we've heard a lot about or knew a lot about growing up, I'm assuming, right?
Yes. Yeah, but the whole bird aspect of it, I was unaware of.
Yeah,
unless that's made up for the thing.
No, yeah, there's in the I don't know, like text and stuff like that. A lot of the witches, female witches, are able to transform into birds or like creatures.
But it's predominantly if only owls where we come from.
Yeah,
from lechuzas. Yeah, and they're usually white barn owls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because
the lechuzas.
So
that's my new band name, by the way.
I like it.
The Lachusas.
Get some accordion. Get an accordion in there.
You're welcome. Dance along at home. Dance along to Pachangas at home.
Yeah. Excellent. I thought so. All that was really cool, really interesting to see that portrayed in the short film. And I thought that was a good way of kind of showing mainstream audiences what something like this was, even though I feel like it was a little ambiguous what it means and what it is, but what it was supposed to represent.
And parts of it, I mean, I'm not talking about the end because obviously, but parts of it were a little fantastical.
Right, yeah. But yeah.
As far as we know. Mm.
Yeah, I really like the cinematography. I thought direction was really good. Yolita is really good in the movie as well.
Yeah, she I'm assuming she started taking classes. Not that she was bad in Roma, mm-hmm. by any means. She was great. She's fantastic. But you can definitely tell there's more coming out of her.
More nuance, more expression with the scenes that she was given. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, really cool. Really interesting. Little short.
Yeah, I would recommend it. It was fucking cool, and I actually really enjoyed the ending too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me so did I.
I mean, as soon as
should we spoil it? You wanna just
yeah, why not? Right?
Yeah, why not?
So Mother Witch is a bird woman.
Yeah,
that's why I said caw, 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 caw.
Yeah,
and I'm guessing because she decided to break the cycle. I mean, this is my guess. Her daughter is marked, and the rest of the witches are now dead.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe or they're all sleepy.
Something went wrong. Yeah, for sure. Something definitely went wrong. So I see. That's where I was a little lost too. I thought it was. I interpreted it as that was what the ritual was supposed to be,
right.
And it was real. So as opposed to something that was kind of just traditional and just lighthearted between the mother and her sisters or whoever the family was. And then this actual kind of big fantastical thing, the grandmother. I'm assuming, I thought it was the grandmother who came back because they have that picture of the older woman.
Makes sense.
She appeared and then she marked the baby. And I thought that was part of the ritual. But yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe something did go wrong because all the other women basically died, disappeared, or were no longer.
Yeah, they all collapsed, I guess. They all just like, and they were all like pleading with her, like, no, don't do it. And she still broke away, right? To go find her baby.
Something like that.
But you could be right too. I don't know. I feel like this is a very up to interpretation sort of short. Yeah.
Yeah. Open ended. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah,
it was really good.
I think it's like a good little like pop this on in the background during your Halloween parties with your mask and your other mask. You know what's real spooky? Not being vaccinated.
Yeah. Speaking about that, not to go off topic, but I got invited to a Halloween party, but I was like, okay, well, is everybody going to be vaxxed? So the person that's throwing it is not vaxxed. I'm like, I'm not going to wait. I don't know who you're inviting. I don't know. Is that a sticking point with you too? Or this Halloween, are you going to go to like a vax thing?
I have actual two different parties that I am going to attempt to make. But I can't be too tired because then I have a concert Halloween night to go watch the OCs, which is also vax only. And then I have work Monday, unfortunately. But not unfortunately. Fortunately, I just have become a certain age where if I do anything on a school night, I feel like I fucked myself. But yeah, both parties I got invited to, it's just vax only. And they're being pretty strict about it.
And if any...
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I wish, yeah, the same. I was like, man, I kind of like, I don't know, if the person who's hosting isn't, I don't know who they're inviting, and I keep like kind of asking about it, and they're gonna like, this person invites, like, I don't know any of these people, like, it's kind of too much of a risk, I guess, to go, I guess. It's too much of a, like, house party thing, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that, which is very iffy, and I'm not... You know, I got to make it clear. I feel like everybody should do what they feel is best for them. But it's also like I have my opinions on like what I think should be safe for everyone. And I'm just looking out for myself. I don't know why people take things so personally. I mean, they always have, I guess. But now more so than ever because they feel
definitely.
Oh, you're discriminating. Like, well, nobody's telling you to do these things.
Yeah. And that was Daughters of the Witches.
And that's our interpretation of what it means.
What it means. Yeah. Excellent. Cool. I think there's a couple other shorts coming up that since it's Halloween, you know, it's October. So there's a lot of little shorts. Maybe we can do another one of these.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
More of these.
Yeah, super quick. But now we have to get into no one will ever, ever seriously get out alive of this situation that they're in. Is the title of the film, I think.
Yeah, exactly. No one gets out alive. All right, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words. Plot summary. drum roll, please.
Sure do.
For Netflix's No One Gets Out Alive, I have 4 5-word plot reviews. So, summaries, I mean, fuck, I suck at that. These aren't the funniest ones I've done, but the number one really encompasses what this film's all about. Coming in at number 4, I have 2 brothers run halfway home.
Can you imagine if that's all the summary they gave you? There's nothing else. It's like, oh, these 2 brothers are just running this fucking shelter for only women. I'm a little confused about that whole thing. I'm still a little bit confused about some of the movie.
Coming in at number 3, I have Woman Joins Exclusive Butterfly Club.
That's a good one. Oh, I like that one.
Coming in at number 2, Immigrant Almost Loses Her Mind.
That's very accurate. Spot on.
And coming in at number 1, For No One Gets Out Alive, I have
because that's what butterflies sound like, by the way. That's what
I was going to say, like, wasn't it more like a butterfly moth situation? Yeah, like
what do butterflies sound like? They're just quiet.
Yeah. Beautiful, quiet.
But if you had a microphone, a little tiny microphone, you could get up to their mouths, they would go, kah, kah, kah.
You can hear them fart. Like little.
Like, like that. That's a loud one for them.
Did you hear that?
I know. I ate so much pollen or nectar or whatever. I'm very familiar with butterflies.
Where the fuck they eat?
Very, very familiar with
I know. That's your specialty. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. My obsession since a child. I'm like, butterflies. They are caterpillars. I'm just... in my head, all I'm doing is going off that fucking book. What's it called? The caterpillar book? The one children's book everybody reads with the green caterpillar with the red head. It's all like circles almost.
Yep. Was it Smoking Hookah?
No.
Oh, yeah, that was Alice in Wonderland. Never mind.
The caterpillar book. Wow, what's it called? The Very Hungry Caterpillar. I'm sure everybody's remembers this one.
I cannot see that.
Oh, because it's too bright. Check it out. Does this work? Nope.
Yeah, lowering it. No.
Never mind.
It's time to get you a green screen.
That is about time.
I got to get you a green screen, buddy.
Get in that green screen.
Yep. Yeah, green screen the whole apartment. You can amazing. Film from anywhere.
No way whatsoever. I'll just make a psych out of the entire place. I wouldn't go crazy at all if it was just all green. I'd be fine.
Fucking 100-foot psych, just paint your walls. And
and that's No One Gets Out Alive. That'd be awesome. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
And No One Gets Out Alive.
Next week we'll be reviewing These Are the People That Survived.
These are the people that got out.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It was not a bad movie by any means. I really enjoyed the mood, I really enjoyed the tones, the color correction. I thought the art department did a fucking fantastic job. I gotta give it a props. A lot of that shit looked really cool. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Effects, VFX, but
no, we gotta talk about. Okay. We'll talk about that in spoilers. The ending, the last third act. We gotta talk about this shit. But yeah,
the acting, I thought was really pretty fucking good. And then I just mentioned that I was like, because you're asking me, you said you know the people that made this movie or something like that. I was like, no, I do recognize the lead actress from somewhere. Yeah. She looks real familiar. I just can't like put my finger on it. But of course, David Barrera, who's a homie, he comes from the same part of Texas we come from. Fucking fantastic guy.
Puro 956.
I think he's got that tattooed on his forearms. David Barrera, if you listen to this, please confirm you have it tattooed on your forearms. which he did a fucking great job. I really, really want him to get more meteor parts like this. Yeah, and then I finally, like, what, minutes before we start this, I look up our main actress here, and I forgot that I spent like fucking 4 months out at Blue Cloud Ranch, which is a filming location over in Santa Clarita, which is nothing but desert, just doing a fucking show with her where she's one of the main actresses.
Yeah.
68 Whiskey.
I mean, that kind of tracks because we're so terrible with names and faces and yeah. stuff like that.
Like everything just,
if anybody knows us, we struggle with all of that.
Yeah, everything blurs together.
So that tracks.
Real quick. Did you, were you able to wrap your head around the guy Red? His name is Mark Menchaca.
What? Yeah. No, I didn't.
He's from San Angelo, Texas.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Maybe he had a Texas vibe.
He definitely
to him,
had a Texas vibe
for sure.
Him.
Yeah, but the Menchaca there is maybe he has a family member who's Latino, probably.
Perhaps because
white
of the
and
mark
Latino because
part. Just kidding. Because
the mark part, yeah.
Because he spells Mark with a C.
Fucking ginger hair. Yeah, dirty blonde ginger hair he had. Through most of the movie.
He was pretty good. I was kind of hoping you would like have a change of heart at the end.
He was good. I don't know if he was good for this part, but okay. I wasn't too high on him. He seemed a little miscast, but that's just me. I don't know.
I like that.
I'm not sure what.
You just played a drunk guy. Apparently, you know, obviously he was sad the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was actually pretty good. I scratched that. I did like him, but I don't. There's something about him that didn't match with this part.
He didn't seem to match or seem to be. I didn't feel like he was the younger brother of Rolando Olivares. I mean, what's his name? The other
no
actor.
Last names.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I meant Rolando Alpantes. All panties.
All pants. All pants. Never shorts. Yeah. No, and I think that him and his brother's storyline, I thought was the one thing I found the hardest thing to connect in this story, because I really like the setup of the movie, because it's kind of like it's a immigrant story, right? And I think they did a terrific job.
I do have something I didn't particularly like about the story itself. Is the whole the butterflies, right? Which is like a big part of the end.
Mm-hmm.
But these butterflies are following her from like the airport, right? She's at an airport at the beginning, or am I thinking of the short? She's somewhere and there's like butterflies kind of following her.
She's in a cargo van or something. She exits the cargo.
You see, folks at home, it's the short and this movie have like a very similar sort of like through line. So I started getting confused because I kept. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I also
right,
watch
yeah.
these things in like chunks because I've been working a lot. We've been working a lot. So I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure. Did you watch both these things kind of in chunks, even though the first thing was only 11 minutes?
I saw the short one day and then I saw the film the next. Oh, okay. So I kind of watched them.
I think
a day apart from each other. Yeah.
I had to break up each of the things into two different days, which I was like,
oh man,
like, damn, yeah. Dude, like that was like, this is only 11 minutes long, but I like really have to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got that. Totally. Yeah. You're absolutely right. For whatever reason, like the short and the feature kind of tread similar ground almost. But I really like the I thought the real horror aspects of this movie were definitely seeing an immigrant's life, somebody who's undocumented, somebody doesn't have any, you know, coming to America, just trying to live out the American dream and then having to struggle through that. And you see that there's all kinds of people that want to take advantage of you, that want to like exploit you for your work, that want to take, you know, steal your money, you know, take advantage of you. And just like pretty much everybody was kind of like a bad person in this movie, unfortunately for our main character here, Ambar.
Yeah.
Ambar? Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, Barbara.
But I thought they did a really interesting job. Barbara. And I like that it's a haunted house movie with and then not only did they focus on, you know, a Latino immigrant story, they focused on other immigrants, right? Like, yeah. Some of the other women were from different countries that were in the boarding house. They were they had moved over here and they were prostitutes, and they also lived in that boarding house. So I like that they kind of came at the immigrant angle more than a couple of different ways, because it's definitely true. It's not only just a Latino thing, or like a, you know, even the actress, or not the actress, but her friend at the whatever, at the sewing sweatshop area, she was black, yeah. Right, she was like African American or
yeah,
something,
think, or no, not African American, but actually African, I think.
Yeah. Actually African, yeah,
not
exactly.
That, not actually African. I mean, she's African. That's what I meant. that's offensive. No, she's actually African.
Yeah, I know.
Not like an African American.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, she's actually Mexican, not like us. We're Mexican Americans.
Yeah, I think people want to hear our how we talk about race.
We're just used as you are. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just as fucked up as everybody else. Yeah, no, I really like those aspects of it. And I kind of feel... And so this haunted house thing is happening. And I think this movie is less... focuses on the scary...
sort of desperation about it.
Did you ever see The Devil's... Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, this movie reminded me a lot of, like, Devil's Backbone.
Yeah, yes.
The Toro movie he did. In Mexico, because it's not really a horror movie, but it's like horror is a big component to it's a ghost story, right? Similar to
because the ghosts were pretty fucking scary. Like whenever they would pop up, and you know, like in the background in the doorway, and you're like, ooh, and as soon as she turns around, the person's gone or whatever. Which I guess is supposed to be that part. I don't know. I guess you don't really see the point of view of anybody else that has to go through the same thing she has to go through, except for the person at the beginning, which I'm not sure, because she keeps seeing her mom, but I don't think her mom went out the same way as the other people, so I don't know why there'd be like a ghostly image of her, unless it's just playing on her mind.
I think it's something along those lines, and I think what we were seeing was something that was playing, without going into spoilers, but you know how, like, she kept returning to that memory of her mother? And I think what we were watching immediately was somebody returning to that conversation they had on the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it wasn't something that was happening. And
but
that's
then the
how...
other ghost, she never met these people ever before in her life. And then she knew all this information. Remember, it freaked out red at the end. Oh, your mom, Mary, or whatever the fuck her name was.
Mm.
So, yeah, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah. There's some sort of like mind something going on there. We can talk about further in spoilers. I was actually really impressed. This is a debut film from Santiago Mangini. Is that right? Mangini?
It might be Mangini.
Mangini. I'll say
Mangini.
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 I was actually.
Anyway, we're really good at pronouncing stuff.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's, it's our education right there, or lack thereof. Yeah. But no, I was actually really impressed with his direction. This is the first thing he's ever, his debut directing effort, and I was impressed with his command of the genre. He did some really nice, like you said, scares. Some good set pieces, set designs, and moments in the movie I thought were, especially in the beginning, worked really well when we're just seeing a lot of the different like ghosts, not really knowing the full context of them yet.
And the way it was,
all of that I thought was incredibly well done.
The way it was cut together was really, really good too. I didn't expect a lot of those scares. Like, you know, you kind of have a feeling like, oh, something might happen, but then it would just pop up more abruptly than I was expecting. So that was nice. A nice little change of pace.
And then, again, I have to come back to the story of the immigrant. I really like the way they portrayed that in the movie. It seemed real.
Yeah.
It didn't seem it didn't seem, what is it, like, it didn't have cliches in the story. I thought it was pretty believable. Everything she was trying to, everything she was going through, and they did a really excellent job of that. Whatever she did have, they start taking stuff away from her, right? They, you know, the money she's saving, the people she knew, her family member, one family member she had a kind of a relationship with. They just kind of just took all these away, just making her completely isolated and desperate to get out of the situation. And I was really moved by the actress's performance too.
Yeah, she did it.
Christina's Rodello. I hadn't seen her before. I've never seen her before in anything. And I thought she did a really excellent job carrying the movie. The only thing that kind of marked me was that her English was too good.
I will say in 68 Whiskey, she plays like a real fucking hard ass, and she has like a thick accent there too. So it's kind of cool to see like a, like this extreme change where she's very desperate and like, she never seemed weak though. So right. That was pretty cool.
No, even to the end, once we kind of know what's going on, she like stands up for herself like throughout the piece. And I kind of like that. She was never like, she was vulnerable when she was by herself, right? And when she was faced with the, you know, what the hell's going on in this boarding home, that she, I thought she did a good job of sticking up for herself. I was really impressed with her performance. She's like basically almost like in every minute of this movie, and I thought she carried it very, very well.
She is the movie. I can't really think of any real moment that she's not in, like any scene she's not in.
She's pretty much in every scene in this movie. She carries it. And I feel like if the movie was just about those aspects of it, I would be like 100% on this movie.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, absolutely recommend. Unfortunately, I think the horror, the ghost monster aspects of this, I think fall short and need more like fleshing out, more explanation. That I wasn't as satisfied with.
Yeah, there are some moments. I did like the wide shot of what we get. I did not like the close up of what is going on. There's a part where, I mean, this is just going into spoilers, but yeah, there's something crawls out of a box, and as it's crawling out of a box, it looks real bad. Kind of took me out of the movie for a second.
Unfortunately, I feel like whatever this mystery was a not like, I don't know, it was needed. I was left a little cold with the explanation of what was going on. I would have liked, I don't know.
I don't know why Red,
I was expecting something different, I think.
Red felt the need. It was very Bond villain. Like, he just decided to explain sort of briefly, like, oh, well, this is what happened in my family's past. And it's like, what? She didn't ask.
And I feel like maybe there's some of that. Maybe they could have, like, fleshed out some of the character. Like, if we got to actually know Red more, what's going on, that would have been maybe more plausible with what's going on with his family and his brother and
I would have liked dad.
I felt like
I would have liked more, instead of like trying to flesh it out with like, oh, literature, like, because, you know, they kind of try to do that with like pictures and some of the ritualistic stuff you're seeing in that one, the study room that she's not supposed to go into. But there's a lot of moments where she gets information because she's seeing flashback memories play out via the ghosts. And if the memories aren't specific to people that have died there, then maybe they could have fleshed out more of the history behind it that way. Would have been a little bit cooler, but I'm sure it would have been way more expensive to do. I'm just keeping the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like they just... No, I was going to say this is based on a novel written by, I believe, Adam Neville. And apparently he wrote the ritual.
Oh, okay.
So...
Oh, that checks out. Yeah,
I guess the same. No, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying that. Yeah, the movies are very similar. I forgot. The ritual is kind of funny because every time I'm like, oh, I should check this movie out, I've seen it I don't know how many fucking times because I keep thinking, oh, maybe I should check this movie out.
kind of a generic name,
yeah,
right?
And every time I see the trailer, I'm like, oh, this looks really good. And then I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I've seen this fucking movie. This is the fifth time I'm watching this movie because I've seen this movie.
I feel like they deliberately made choices in terms of like sort of like the myth building behind the building, you know? They deliberately made a choice not to reveal anything right. about it. And I do like movies that don't hold your hand and kind of walk you through and explain like this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. You know what I mean? Like that kind of gets like too matter of fact, right? But I thought this could have used maybe a little bit more explanation.
Suspense is killing me. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. What the fuck was that butterfly thing?
Was that what it was?
It was like a big, like, half slug, half caterpillar butterfly thing. I don't know. I don't understand. But then
I didn't
it wasn't
get
because
it.
When
yeah.
you opened the box, it was like a dead little child butterfly thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it eats heads via its mouth crotch. It's like,
unfortunately,
right? Am I wrong in that?
Everything you're describing, John, has actually happened. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Everything you're saying is Everything you're saying is true. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't quite understand Absolutely. That. And then the hands thing, that's what I'm talking about. Crawling out of the fucking box. They try to do the POV of crawling out of the box. I'm like, this is bad. Sorry, guys. Maybe if like they knocked down the brightness of this scene, it would look a little bit better. But it was like on par with Mama fucking CGI effects. Like,
I was really disappointed. I was disappointed that it was a monster. Because that's not what I thought this was, right?
Right.
I knew something was in the box, something fucking mothy, butterfly-y, whatever the fuck, right? So I thought something more along those lines, and it's sort of like a mix of something, right? It's like moth, cocoon, caterpillar, fucking weird, ugly CGI creature.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense.
I mean, I thought
like,
it looked kind of
cool. I didn't. I thought this big hulking hands were awful. Yeah. And then those are its legs, right? And then it had smaller and tentacle hands that were do like the more
basic it was like covering its eyes before it looked or something.
What is all this? I didn't get it.
I'm actually, it made me think like maybe it is.
Yeah, I thought it would tie more to like it was a metaphor for something, but I never really understood what the fuck it was.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping it was just going to be like I don't know, something along the line. I'm not saying this exactly, but something along the lines like, oh, her mom pops out, but it's actually just her, and it's just been her the whole time, like dealing with her, that whole trauma, and trying to run away from
it. Yeah.
But then it became a real thing. Something I did take away from the ending, though, is after our hero fucking goes crazy and decides to kill everyone, and then offers up Red as a part of the ritual, which I was under the assumption that it had to be women only that was fed to this thing.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why I got that feeling. And I don't know if it's like they didn't allow men in because women were easier to, to
take advantage of,
I guess, right? I'm not entirely sure. But I like how she's walking out. She lets that fucking thing live for some reason. And then when the butterfly goddess or whatever empowers her, kind of like the older brother was being like empowered, kind of like a drug, I guess. I was like, you know what? This actually plays out kind of nicely because she has nowhere to really go. She doesn't really have any family anymore. And she's been taken advantage of this whole time. Now it's her turn.
Right. Yeah.
Even though that's probably not the right message.
Well, see, that was, I didn't understand that ending. Like, it's supposed to be sad, right? Like, she's like a slave to this fucking creature, right? Like, she's now supposed to feed it, or?
But I'm wondering if maybe it'll be a little bit different because it's the one, she's the one, I guess, creature that's defied this thing. Because I assumed after the older brother killed the dad that whatever was possessing the dad took him over. I'm not entirely sure it took her over. I think she just started to feel good again because,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, unsatisfying ending. And I didn't like either that they just explained it. Oh, my parents were, they were, what is it? Like, they collected stuff or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was a dumb explanation.
My Caucasian parents went and fucked with ancient, oh my God, I'm blanking on the fucking name of this place. We only learn about it in school as a part of our own curriculum, I feel like. Tenochtitlan, right? Or something like that? Where were they? Were they,
I don't remember. Box? I thought it was like Egypt. It was Egypt, wasn't it? Or some shit.
No.
I don't remember.
It was definitely like a, I think it was like a Mexican thing. Or not Mexican, but like South American thing.
Oh. I don't think I played enough.
Read that wrong.
I didn't pay enough attention to that detail of that.
Oh no.
That's why I thought it was like some fucking Egypt shit. Or I don't know, dude.
Let's just reconfirm this real quick before we Aztec mythology.
Oh,
I'm gonna fuck this up. Okay. We're horrible Mexicans, by the way. It's Papalotes. It's pop. Anyway, we're horrible Mexicans. And that's the show. Goodbye, everyone.
Just look it up.
Look it up on your own. We give you misinformation so you can educate yourselves properly, you know?
Yeah, we're basically Fox News of podcasts. So we'll give you all the misinformation.
You can find our new handle on Parler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but what an interesting... All in all, I thought it was a good movie. I think it's a fun movie, especially for a horror movie of its caliber, because clearly it was low budget, but they did a lot with that low budget.
It's going to be like kind of like a sleeper movie. People are going to kind of like put it on expecting one thing, and then they give us a pretty like told immigrant story on top of, you know, and I feel like it does a really good job of, this is a really nice introduction for the direction of this movie, like for the director and for this type of, you know, debut. I'm really, really impressed with the movie. I thought he did a really good job with the acting, the casting, and I thought like his actual, some of the sequences in this movie were actually really well made and spooky.
Yeah.
You know, scary stuff. Like, it was really, really well done.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I satisfied with the... what we've been talking about, this fucking explanation of what this creature is? No, absolutely not. I didn't think none of it worked.
But David Barada is representing the RGV, where we don't play no games. And that was awesome. And he was almost a hero if it wasn't for it being a ruse to to make our hero comfortable enough to be eaten, I guess.
Yeah, no, he was really good in the movie. He just got his head smashed in, so he couldn't be there.
To death.
Yeah, he got mauled. It was awful.
He actually just shared a photo on Instagram saying, the nicest killer I've ever met in my life, and it's just him with like his face bloody, and he's taking a picture with his cast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. We gave our kind of last thoughts there, but do you have any last impressions, any last thoughts you want to give?
No, I think people should watch this movie. If anything, I'm not trying to be that sort of preachy person, but also just to support Latino culture, you know, and actors. And yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, I think it's nice that it's like a Netflix special movie too, even though
doing really well.
There's a big chance by the time people hear this one, I will be going on strike against Netflix. So we'll see. Because remind everybody, I do work in the film industry, and I did vote yes for the strike.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Been going to the rafters.
No, absolutely. I support you, 100%.
Nice. Also, Rolando, I need a job, so if you could go ahead and hire me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You're like, let me see your resume. Why is there this big gap for the past 10, 11 years? Because like, I was working film industry. Oh, so you didn't have a real job.
Oh, so you're a waiter. No, I'm just kidding. So you're waiting, no. my last thoughts were just, I think the filmmaking was really well done, and I think they build a lot of atmosphere and tension in the movie, which I was really impressed with. And I think the lead in this movie does a lot of the really nice heavy lifting. I'm not completely satisfied, like I said, with the last story elements of the movie, but I still think it's still worth a watch. So
yeah.
All right. All right, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Rate the movie.
I will give No One Gets Out Alive 5.5 sexy spooky bones.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. Right in the middle. I am going to give No One Gets Out Alive, which, did I mention I hated that title?
Yes. Not the best title I've ever...
Not the best title.
I've ever seen.
They could have just called this Umbar. What's the chick's name? That would have been fun. Anyways,
I think it's Umbar, but yeah.
Umbar. Maybe that would be too... That would have been kind of weird, too. Anyways, I'm going to give it... I liked it a lot, so I'll give it 7 sexy spooky bones out of 10. Big fan of it.
Not bad. I mean, I wouldn't go off my ratings, because for me, a 10 out of 10 is going to be Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn, which is by no means...
Yeah. Perfect to you, though. Perfect to you.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful thing.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...